Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Pick one out and whichever one suits your fancy and check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Lots of other cool things you can do there. If you're a small business owner, if you want to be, or even if you work for a small business, I think you'll find some things there that will make you inform you and hopefully will motivate you a little bit. Bob Dillenschneider is our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's with us right now. Robert L. Dillenschneider is the founder of the Dillenschneider Group, which is a corporate strategic counseling and public relations firm. He is the author of a number of very important books, including Critical 14 Years of Your Professional Life, also Moses CEO, and his newest book, 50 Plus, Critical Career Decisions for the Rest of Your Life. He's our good friend, Bob Dillenschneider. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, great to be with you here on President's Day.
Yes, good to have you back. Thanks for spending some time with us. Bob, one of the things that I look forward to every year, and I'm just so happy to be on your mailing list, is your trends and forecast report that you publish in January every year. And the title of this year's report is called A World in Transition, All Bets Are Off. Sounds like, and in your report, you talk about that. And I'd like to get your thoughts to sort of to give us some ideas about some of the things that are in your report. And I've got a few of them pinpointed that I want to talk about. Anyone in particular, any area in particular you'd like to start with?
Well, anything that works for you and your listeners, Jim, but I will say this maybe as a something to start the conversation. I was sitting in London 2.5 weeks ago on a Friday afternoon having lunch with a good friend of mine in a restaurant on Piccadilly Circus, and his cell phone went off. He put his cell phone to his ear. He listened for about a minute, put the cell phone down, and looked at me and said, "You've got to leave right away." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they're canceling flights to the United States. You have to be able to get back."
Wow.
So I literally got a taxi and rushed out to the airport and got in the last flight.
Wow.
That to me sets the stage for what we're in right now.
Yeah, and there's so that was interesting on so many levels, wasn't it? The fact that you could get that kind of instant information. I mean, that's the good news. The bad news is the news was bad.
Well, and I didn't have to pay the check either. I got out so quickly, just got a guy paid the check.
I know what a big deal that is for you, Bob. No, I'm just teasing. Bob is a very generous person, folks. I've been on the other end of his generosity, and it's very nice. Bob, what did you make of all that? Did you look at that and say, "Thank goodness they're looking out for us," or I'm unhappy that we have this. We're in this kind of a world. How did you react to that?
Well, I was happy to get back to my family on a very base level, but beyond that, it said to me that the terrorists, and I'd done some analysis of this when I was in France just about a month ago. Terrorists very much want to have George Bush as an enemy. They would like to see George Bush reelected.
They would?
That means he's their enemy, absolutely. They'll be able to be out there.
That's sort of counterintuitive, though, isn't it, considering how he's gone after them?
That's true. But I think with somebody else, the other person might try to settle with the terrorist. He would back off. And what makes the terrorists work is the fact that we are in the Middle East. We are in places like Iraq and Iran, and we're creating a new situation. That's not good for the terrorists.
So they need a Satan, don't they? They need a great Satan, don't they?
That's exactly what they've done. That's exactly what they've done with Bush. And I commend Bush for what he's done. He's coming out and cleaning out the back.
Yeah, he has. And now that you've kind of taken us into the terrorism topic, and that obviously you can't talk about terrorism without talking about the Middle East. The Middle East, as you pointed out in your report this year, the Middle East is really a can of worms over there, isn't it?
It's a very difficult situation. I had lunch the other day with a very good friend of mine who is a Saudi Arabian, and he said to me, when a Saudi child looks at his father and sees a bullet hole in his head, can you understand why he gets outraged? And I said, yes, I can. I need to understand why that man got shot in the first place, however.
Yeah.
So it's highly complex.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, but let's talk about, for just a minute, let's talk about the demographics of the Middle East. It's really diverse over there, isn't it? I mean, the differences in the education levels, for example, in Iran and Iraq, are significantly higher than they are in the other parts of the Middle East, like in Saudi Arabia.
The difference is huge, Jim, and of course,
Bob, I'm sorry, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you answer that when we come back after these messages. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Robert L. Dillon Schneider, the author of 50 Plus. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Let me tell you about our show coming up straight ahead. Beverly Williams will join us. She'll talk to us about home-based business issues. Rick Pinion is our financial planning expert. Phyllis Martin is going to tell us what some CEOs have told her to recommend to small business owners. And Anita Rosen is one of our top e-business experts. That's coming up in the show straight ahead. That's a power-packed day that we're going to have with those four individuals. Let's talk to our good friend Bob Dillon Schneider. Robert L. Dillon Schneider is the author of 50 Plus, which is his newest book, and I encourage you to check that out wherever books are sold. Let me spell his last name for you, D-I-L-E-N-S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. One of the reasons I like Bob is because he's one of the few guys who has a name longer than mine. Bob, we're talking about the Middle East, and we're talking about the demographics over there, the differences in those nations in the region over there in the Middle East.
Well, it's huge, Jim, and it's going to have a massive impact for Americans, people in Western Europe, and the Japanese over the next 15, 20 years, because there's so many young people in the Middle East below 20, below 15, and their fertility rates are much, much higher than our fertility rates. So we can expect a huge demographic population shift with a lot of younger people in the Middle East and a lot of older people in the West, and that includes Japan. And we can also expect that those younger people are going to be taught at the very base level, just as younger people here are taught, fundamental principles that might not be all that positive toward the United States. So we're going to have one heck of a challenge on our hands, not necessarily in the next 5 years, but the next 10 years.
But the thing is, Bob, if we don't try, it would never happen.
We've got to step out. I'm a great believer that we ought to reach out to Bill Gates and create video games for these young kids in the Middle East. Video games that deal with basic human values. I think we should do that.
I like that. I've never heard anybody else say that. I'm not surprised that I'm hearing it from you. But
well, if I had 100,000 people in the Middle East and I gave them, say, 100 video games, that means there'd be 99,000 trying to get those video games. That's good. That's
exactly.
A positive thing.
Well, and the interesting thing, though, about the Middle East is Iran and Iraq, typically, those cultures are highly literate, whereas Saudi Arabia, they're not literate as much. And so I wonder if the biggest challenge that we're going to have is when King Fahd dies and when Crown Prince, when he dies, I mean, what's going to happen to that country, to Saudi Arabia? Is that not possibly the next big flashpoint in the Middle East?
It is the next big flashpoint in the Middle East for a lot of reasons, because of the deaths or impending deaths you just described, Jim, but also because all the oil is in Saudi Arabia and the terrorists know that. So there's a sect called the Wahhabi sect, which is very active in teaching anti-American, anti-Western culture, and that's what we're going to have to contend with.
Are the Saudis starting to... You know, in the last 6 months, Bob, they seem to have changed their... I mean, they went from being sort of duplicitous with their dealings with the West in terms of funding terrorism while sort of being claiming to be our friend. But has that sort of turned around the last few months?
Slowly. It's slowly turning. And I think the leadership in Saudi Arabia realizes that their bacon is on the griddle right now. They've got to do something about
right.
getting it straight before it's
an
all
interesting
over.
Analogy dealing with Muslims there, Bob. Let's change subjects. Let's talk about economics for a little bit before we run out of time. Globalization is something that's on a lot of people's minds, and you know, the two of the things that you write about in your report is one is about terrorism, and the other is about the economics and how people are. Some people are unhappy because of terrorism, but some people are unhappy because of the economic situation, and some people are not. They're happy about the way things are going economically. How much of a part is globalization playing in all that?
I think it's a huge part, and China and India are big players in the game here. China has become the manufacturing center for the world. We have fundamentally lost a lot of the manufacturing that used to get done here in the United States. That same is true in Western Europe. Almost everything is now made in China, and India is not far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's likely if manufacturing, production of goods, is important, and I have a feeling it is, that you're going to see a lot of the wealth shifting to China over the next 15 or 20 years.
A lot, and obviously it's going to shift out of this country. What's that going to do to the standard of living in America?
Well, we are hoping that the service economy, the knowledge economy, is going to fill the gap. I frankly have some questions about that, but I think the standard of living in other parts of the world is going to raise, and ours is going to probably be stagnant for a while. We've got a big challenge here.
Yeah. And
a lot of for small business people too, by the way.
Which was my next question. What do you see on the horizon for small business?
Well, small business people, I think, have a great opportunity to provide services and products at a very sophisticated level. That's something the Chinese can't really do at this point. They can mass produce, but the small business person, the 5, 10, 15, 50 person shop, can produce products that are second to none, and I think that can be a significant place that small business can make a big contribution.
One of the things
I think also
that
small business, by the way, Jim, is going to create an employment level far beyond what big business does.
There's no question about it. We've actually been doing that. The thing that I'm really excited about for small business is the way we are being invited by the big companies to become integrated into their operation, not just be a vendor where we drop our stuff off at the loading dock, but where we're actually asked to come into the operation and integrate ourselves into their operation. That's an opportunity for small business that I think is incredible. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more to come with our good friend Robert L. Dillenschneider, the author of Moses, CEO. Stay with us.
Against your skin so brown, and I want to sleep with you.
Your love lifting me higher. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Robert L. Dillenschneider. And, folks, I encourage you to check him out whenever you go to your bookstore, if you're looking for a great book to read, especially those of us who have a little bit of gray hair on the temple. His book, 50 Plus, Critical Career Decisions for the Rest of Your Life, I think you'll enjoy that very much. And also, his book, Moses, CEO, Lessons in Leadership, is as far as I'm concerned, is one of the standards for studying leaders. And Bob, congratulations on the outstanding work that you do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Jim. The 50 Plus is in its fourth printing now. And
wow.
The Moses book is being re-released this summer in anticipation of the presidential election.
Absolutely. Well, let's make sure that we get you back on the show when that happens. Bob, we were talking about small business. This is really an interesting time for small business, because with all this outsourcing that's going on, you know, outsourcing is becoming a way of life for companies, not only big companies, but also for small companies. But outsourcing is custom made for small business owners to take advantage of, but only if we think like a 21st century small business, not like a 20th century small business.
I think if you're a small business person, and I am a small business person, the future is your oyster. You're all set for the future. The big business people can't move quickly enough. They don't know how to innovate fast enough to shape the future. That's why they're relying on small business.
And you know, Bob, another thing that I think is exciting, 100 years ago when Henry Ford had his small business, in order for him to follow his dream, he had to become big. In the 21st century, you and I can follow our dream and be productive and maybe even wildly successful financially and still not become big.
That's true. It's a great opportunity for Americans. We've got the model right exactly the way it should be in this country, and I think the future looks pretty good right now if we just stick to our guns and deal with the issues we've got all over the world.
Notwithstanding terrorism, because I equate terrorism, Bob, with the Cold War, and when I compare the commitment that we made to the Cold War to the commitment that we're going to have to make to terrorism, to fighting terrorism, I really see terrorism not as imposing a force, as imposing a danger as the Cold War was, in terms of the overall commitment that we have to make to it. And so when you consider that the Cold War is over and we do now have terrorism, I really believe that we could be entering, and now that we're pointing our ships at China and Russia and not missiles at each other, I really believe that we've got an opportunity for an incredibly peaceful 21st century. What do you think?
I think we do. I think that we can't shy away from terrorism, and we have to deal with terrorists. But I think people around the world, thanks to the media, by the way, see the opportunity for peace and bliss and trying to get along. And I think that's a big thing that's going to be at work now in the world. We have to work at it to make that happen.
Why did you use the word? Why did you use the media as an example?
Well, I think CNN, your radio program, other similar radio programs, CNBC, and others broadcast now around the world. I think that we have got a level of education now in the world that wasn't there, say, 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. So,
if CNN had been around in 1939, 1936, do you think Hitler could have done what he did?
I don't think it would have happened. I don't think the German people, the Axis nations would have come into line the way they did. I think they would have been a different world, but unfortunately we didn't have the technology then. We do now.
Sunlight is a great purifier, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, again, your program and programs like it, Jim, are big, big parts of this.
Well, I appreciate that. Bob, let's have a little fun and a little bit of extra fun. In your piece, your report that you, your annual report, you talked about attorneys, and you quoted a section from Shakespeare about first thing we do, kill all the lawyers. Why did you bring that up?
Well, I brought up, first of all, my brother and brother-in-law are lawyers, Jim, so I don't want to kill them. But we've just over-lawyered the country. It's unbelievable. We've passed the million mark in terms of lawyers who are out there right now. And that doesn't count lawyers who are not practicing and who are just plain business people. And lawyers bring things to litigation. I was in a room last week with 16 lawyers and myself. And I kept saying to myself, these guys are charging $200 or $300 an hour, and here I am, and the issue is going to be mine to solve.
16 lawyers and you were almost outnumbered, weren't you?
I was outnumbered, that's right.
You were almost outnumbered. No, I don't think you were. I think they probably had to stay on their toes. Bob Dillon-Schneider, thank you for being here. Good job, as always.
Always great to be with you, Jim. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you later. Bob Dillon-Schneider, ladies and gentlemen, the author of 50 Plus and Moses CEO. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.